What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Thomas Drantz, who also covers the team for The Athletic. As a Canucks insider, of course, I should mention. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Equipment.
Should you mention it?
I have to. Until somebody tells me otherwise, I'm going to. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We are live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, and we are now officially just under 24 hours away from the NHL trade deadline, which will be tomorrow at noon. Massive flurry of activity yesterday. Feels a little bit like the calm before the storm right now, although there are still some smaller deals happening right now. By the way, for trade deadline coverage tomorrow, Halford and Brough 6 to 10. I believe I'm going to be sitting in with Halford and Brough from 9 to 10. So for the final hour of that show, that'll roll into Canucks Talk. You and
the
me.
Jimmy Dodd,
yes,
Power Hour?
Exactly. I know.
Wow.
Got to have my sunglasses ready.
Oh,
so
man.
So that's very exciting.
Moving up in the world.
Well, I think they go a little stir crazy when they have to do 4 hours. So they're like, Jamie, come in and just settle us down a little bit.
Fair enough.
We'll see about that. Then us.
Leaning on your parenting experience.
That's right. Exactly. You and me, 10 to 1, except you'll depart at some point after the official deadline, because we anticipate there'll be a presser for you to cover down at Rogers Arena.
Depending on the timing of the presser, I'll stick around for as long as I can. You know me.
Yes, absolutely. And then it'll be, I think Bick will hop on with me for a little bit, then Bick will do the People Show, and then Reach and Sat will have you covered. At the end of it all, likely, I would have to guess, interviewing one of Patrick Alvin or Jim Rutherford.
Either way, there's going to be lots of Canucks Talk on Canucks Talk.
There is. Absolutely, there certainly is. And let's get right into it with the whiteboard.
All right now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, March 7th, starting with the headlines. And we'll start with a trade. It is a Canucks game day, but this relates to the Canucks. I think the biggest trade that went down after we were off the air yesterday, the Vegas Golden Knights going and getting Noah Hanifin from Calgary at 25% salary because of double retention in there. And now it was framed as a conditional 2025 first round pick, but the condition is basically we can still trade that pick at this deadline. If we don't, then you can have it. But if we do trade it, then you'll get our 2026 first round pick. So Vegas goes and gets the top defenseman on the market, one of the top players of any description left on the market. Still has tons of cap space, still has this year and next year's first-round pick to play with. So not only do they add a really good defenseman, but they have every opportunity to do more. And as it relates to the Canucks and the game day tonight, it does sound like Noah Hanifin will be in the lineup when they play in Vegas tonight.
They also have, and Anthony Mantha. So
yep,
the Vegas Golden Knights have loaded up, and we will see what that looks like this evening. You got into the condition, right?
Yes. Yeah.
The funniest condition, like the most smoking gun revealing.
We're still
intent.
Trying to do something here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the end of Guardians of the Galaxy where, you know, the raccoon's getting on the spaceship and John C. Reilly's like, no more crimes though. And they're like, what about if someone takes something I want and I kill them? It's like, that's murder. Literally the worst crime you can do. The Vegas Golden Knights are like, well, what if I make another blockbuster trade?
Yeah.
It's like, then we'll take your pick in 2026.
Cause you know what? You know what 2026 is?
Oh, yeah, the Gavin McKenna draft.
Calgary's getting smart. They're loading up on 2026 picks already. You know, you think about it, Vegas, they're going to be pretty old and broken down by then.
Yeah, except Vegas is just going to keep doing
this. They'll
just
find a way. They'll just find a way to keep spinning it into
they're going to keep
more
doing
success.
This. Gavin McKenna, 89 points in 56 games. This is a 16-year-old in the WHL. Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Okay, back to reality.
Yeah.
Obviously, Vegas... So I have so many different takeaways from this. Among them, Vegas is huge and just got bigger. Like the idea, the idea that one of the things we saw yesterday,
Vegas has also just tweeted the eyeballs emoji.
Uh-oh.
So We'll see. We'll keep you posted for
those eyeballs are conditional eyeballs that may be given to us in 2026 should the Golden Knights make a huge blockbuster trade, which they're clearly going to do because this is the Vegas Golden Knights. The idea that yesterday Colorado got faster and Vegas got bigger, and it's like, you were already really fast.
Mm-hmm.
You were already really big. And then the Avs kind of come back and around the edges. Trenin, Deheim today so far are sort of bolstering the size at the bottom end of their lineup. But, I mean...
Well, and the speed. Duhame's not a slow player.
No, and so, neither's Trenin.
Yeah.
But I mean, they've added heft, too. I don't want to obscure that.
Sure.
I'm just saying that what we're seeing is two teams that have won before in a stylistic clash about what they need to get the job done. Vegas is like, we won with size, we're going to get bigger. Colorado's, we won with speed, we're going to get faster.
Mm-hmm.
And look, obviously, I would love for Canucks fans in the city to enjoy a deep run into the playoffs, but from a, like, three musketeers, which style of fencing is better perspective, I kind of need a seven-game series between the fast team that's doubled down on speed and the big team, just to satisfy my curiosity.
Well, Colorado's is so fascinating in particular because of their willingness to specifically sacrifice it on the blue line, right? It's not just that they've built their forward group around speed, but they have said, you know what, we're fine having a really, really mobile blue line that sacrifices a lot of speed. Now, Vegas's guys, it's not as if they can't skate, right? Shea Theodore's a fantastic skater, you know, Alex Pietrangelo can get around still. But they've prioritized size so heavily on the back end, and Noah Hanifin fits into that as well. And that clash specifically on the blue line construction is really, really interesting. And I will say, you know, another day, another potential first round or at some point in the playoff preview here against an opponent for the Vancouver Canucks in the Vegas Golden Knights, not just going out and getting Noah Hanifin, but then also so clearly telegraphing their intentions and having the resources and the cap space to go do another significant impact move, Vegas seems a lot more... Like, remember, it was just earlier this week. It's like, oh, Vegas, man, they're listing. Are they going to be able to turn it on? Are they going to be able to flip the switch? Now they seem like a legitimately daunting first-round opponent for any team.
Except 6 points ahead of Seattle in that second wildcard spot.
It's true.
With two head-to-head games remaining. I mean, look, loading up, this team needed a punch in the arm. Maybe a punch in the gut. If you listen to Canucks fans on Twitter and fans around the league and even former Canucks goaltender Roberto Luongo,
they need a punch in the face.
Maybe a swift kick in the groin.
Uh-huh.
But the fact is that they've still got a bit of a... They've listed so badly for so long that they've actually opened the door to a team backdooring them. Down the stretch, they have to win some games here.
They have, but it'd be pretty stunning.
We all know, I think, and I don't think any of us truly question whether Vegas is a sleeping giant or not, right? I think we all think they're a sleeping giant. We don't just think they're
Let's put it this way. If they're the seventh seed, they are not your typical seventh seed.
No question. Yeah, they're a wild card team. That's terrifying. And yet, with the way the West sort of shook out. I mean, is there any of the top seven, the clear seven teams that profile as a wild card team? I mean, all of them are nightmares.
Yep.
So
the Vegas Golden Knights just tweeted, more breaking news, the 2024 Golden Knight Gala presented by Wynn Las Vegas.
They got us!
Can't wait for Sunday.
They got us!
Nicely done.
Vegas, those dirty rascals, they got us.
It's a partnership promotion.
Oh, my goodness. See, I'm more upset about that than the cap stuff.
I think that's fabulous.
That ticks me off more than the cap stuff. Oh, well.
I'm into it. I like that. Good stuff from Vegas Social. Well done, admin.
All right. So that's the headline, really, is that the Canucks are playing Vegas, who goes and loads up and positions himself to potentially load up even more ahead of the deadline. And again, another potential first-round playoff preview matchup tonight for the Canucks in Vegas as they look for their third win in a row, by the way, and to sweep this mini three-game road trip in the Pacific time zone. All right, to the broad sheet now. And of course, it is peak rumor time right now in the NHL, a day ahead of the trade deadline. And we'll start on Guentzel. And I just want to say, it has been really striking seeing the steady drumbeat of the Canucks are pessimistic on Guentzel reporting from local reporters here, including yourself, Rick Dhaliwal, local reporters in Pittsburgh, including your Athletic colleague, Josh Yohe, national reporters. I think we've all got the sense now that the Canucks not high on their chances to land Jake Guentzel. And I find it fascinating how much it's out there. There's a part of me where it's like, is this some sort of weird smokescreen? Like, what's going on here? Or is it just, you know, Jim Rutherford's a pretty open and honest guy. You know, I don't want to say who this is coming from necessarily, but maybe they're just willing to let people know that.
So I know there's this theory out there that's like the market's drying up on the Penguins, right? The Canucks are making a leverage play saying they've moved on. Whatever. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm discounting that entirely. I don't want to have take lock, especially at this high leverage of time of year. You have to be open to the possibility that anything can happen, in part because one phone call changes a lot, right? I've been reporting for what? Most of last week that the Canucks were more likely to be in the market for mid-range targets than, you know, the big game that could move ahead of the deadline. Which is not to say, especially, and this especially must be said when it comes to Patrick Alvin. I know we always talk about Jim Rutherford, but we can't ignore Patrick Alvin. Kind of a dog on the bone when it comes to working the telephones, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Alvin stays in touch with everybody. The Canucks check in on everything, right? The names that are not being talked about, the Canucks are checking in on. They are scouring their opportunities. And when you're doing that, when you operate with that level of aggression, as we've seen over the course of the last 12 months especially, things can fall in your lap. Surprises can occur. No one mentioned the name Filip Hronek until the day he was traded for, right? So, not discounting that as a still extant possibility, the reason I wait, the reason I'm reporting and not and reporting it fully, like, this is what I'm hearing, this is what I expect, as opposed to captioning it as like this might be spin, is the idea that the club is going to be reluctant to pay the sort of price required to get a Guentzel deal across the line is consistent with a week of what I've been hearing, and most importantly, the club's posture. Today, the club recalled Vasily Podkolzin, probably an indication that he's in the lineup tonight. Easy to paper him down tomorrow for Calder Cup playoff eligibility and a variety of other things. Additionally, you have the team not waiving Amon and Friedman, as I suggested they'd be reluctant to do yesterday. And again, you sort of combine that. The club has less than $200K in cap space today, right? Yeah, I mean, you'd need double retention to add an $800K salary. And even then, probably wouldn't be able to get it done without reassigning Vasily Podkolzin, which you can do. The fact is that the club hasn't operated like a club on the verge of an aggressive move. They rate their own internal prospects very highly. They don't have a ton of flexibility under the cap. Well, I really think as we get into the last 24 hours plus, or the last 24 hours before the deadline, the club is postured where if they're going to take, you know, the sort of big swing that a lot of fans want to see, double retention is going to be the order of the day. And or it's going to require some subtraction off the roster from a money in, money out perspective. That all to me, in combination with the club's reluctance to part with those three Swedish-born prospects that haven't necessarily entered the organization today yet. Jonathan Lekaramäki named his team's MVP in the SHL this year at the age of 19. Pretty good. You put that all together, and I see a team that's going to be not bargain hunting, not quiet or on the sidelines, because that's runs contrary to everything Alvin and Rutherford have shown us about who they are, but a team that's more likely to be, you know, in the market for a Jason Zucker versus a Jake Guentzel. I reported a week ago, everything that's played out in the week since has only reinforced my belief. And even then, no take lock. This is a no take lock zone. I'm certainly open to them turning over that apple cart in a hurry in the next day.
Well, and just to your point about kind of the lack of moves from the Canucks that would indicate a bigger move is coming, you know, you saw a team like Carolina today at the waiver time put a whole bunch of guys on waivers, right? So that could be an indication that they have a move coming, or it could just be creating flexibility to make that move. But that is the type of thing that you see teams do, especially on a day like today, where it's your kind of last chance to clear guys before the deadline tomorrow. By the way, Elliot Friedman reporting that Carolina is still in the mix on Gensel. Also the Rangers, who he said on the Jeff Merrick show today, you know, they wanted to do their center trade first, which they did with Alex Wenberg yesterday. Then they were going to re-engage and touch base with the Penguins. We should know, you know, there was that reporting that the Penguins wanted to get a Gensel trade done by last night. Obviously that didn't happen, so it's lingered on. So that doesn't necessarily mean the market is soft, just that there are other factors or things. It sounds like Carolina and New York still very much in the mix. Maybe Vegas could get involved as well. From a Canucks perspective, Elliot Friedman saying also that he expects the Canucks to be very, very interested in Tyler Toffoli if they are, in fact, out on Gensel. And Toffoli, we were talking yesterday where it was a little maybe unclear if he was going to be on the market. It sounds like it's very much trending to he will be available at the trade deadline, will not sign an extension with the New Jersey Devils. That could change, of course. You never know at this time of year. But it looks like that's where it's heading. And the acquisition cost is fascinating here because Toffoli is such a good player. There are the Canucks aren't going to be the only team that miss out on Gensel. Only one team is going to get Gensel, and it feels like pretty much everybody who's in a market for a top six winger that doesn't end up getting Gensel would naturally have a lot of interest in Tyler Toffoli as well. So I mean, I love Tyler Toffoli as a target, but I don't know how steep the drop-off is even going to be in terms of price from Gensel to Toffoli, because he's going to end up being very in demand.
Well, I think it'll be steep. Like, I think Gensel's going to go for an amount where the idea that the Canucks were out of it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, multiple teams still in. I'm still waiting to hear from Detroit, too. I mean, Detroit's got a shot. Their GM, you know, wouldn't talk to his own family members if they were credentialed media. That's still like the team, the Yakuza guy in The Simpsons that hasn't done anything yet in the fight. Like, that to me is Steve Yzerman. So, yeah, really curious to see how this plays out with Gensel and then what the dominoes are. Busnevich,
the other guy in that class, really.
And I think Eberle,
mm.
Right? And this is the other part of why I really don't buy any market softening on Gensel talk. It's like the Oilers have done so much over the last 48 hours, right? Henrique, Stetcher, mm-hmm. Richmond, Troy from Richmond to Edmonton. Obviously Carrick. And yet they've kept their first round pick. They haven't parted way with Broberg or Borgo. Like in some ways their biggest ammunition is still available to them. Sorry, they did trade a first.
But they traded the first for Henry.
But it wasn't this year.
No, it was this year.
It was. Okay,
next year's though. And they have a second this year.
Got it. So in some ways, though, their most valuable weaponry has been preserved and they're still being linked to a potential Eberle reunion. Well, that tells me that they're not necessarily out of the bidding. Vegas, we know, is
planning on trying to do something at the very least.
Vegas has made the NHL salary cap, the NHL hard cap, seem like the NFL salary cap. It's incredible. So, you know, the Avs are still rumored to be mm-hmm. sniffing around a whole bunch of stuff.
Florida. Florida. Kevin Weeks saying, hey, they're still really interested in upgrading their roster.
Right. So in some ways, all the big contenders have left space to keep going in a meaningful sense, which, again, I think Gensel's going to go for a haul. And then I think Busnevich is an interesting one because there's no pressure on whether or not he moves. Eberle, I still lean extension as my assumed outcome there. And then you get to Toffoli and company and sort of work your way down from there. It's the winger market, interestingly enough, well, I think could produce real returns for the Devils and the Penguins.
And that's really where all eyes are now, right? Because Henrique and Lindholm and Monahan have been traded. Hanifin's gone off the D market. Like, the wingers are where the guys who can move the needle the most still are on the market right now.
No movement at all in net is interesting to me, by the way. We should try and have Woodley on tomorrow if this continues.
So that's kind of what to watch for from a Canucks perspective, potentially being in on Toffoli if they're not in on Gensel. The Eberle name is an interesting one to track as well. I also wanted to note in terms of rumors, Chris Johnston saying the Canucks are on track to sign Phil Kessel before tomorrow's deadline. So we'll see where that goes.
It's hard for me to imagine that won't happen.
Feels like it's going to happen unless the kind of thing you're talking about where something relatively unexpected falls into your lap happens and precludes it from happening. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's just about how it happens and whether or not that's amenable to all sides, right? Because there's a variety of ways. You sign, you go down on conditioning for 2 weeks, team uses a recall to bring you up, or you sign and you immediately go on waivers and go down to the American League, in which case the club's cap considerations are nil for you, right? You know what I mean? Like, they don't even have to worry about it. Is there, you know, a variety of different scenarios? Is there negotiation about that? I've heard so much. The Canucks have played it so close to the vest in terms of we're still deciding, right up to the 11th hour here, that I'm sort of approaching it with a little bit of skepticism. But obviously my expectation would be that he does sign.
That's the broadsheet section of the whiteboard, and look, we'll have a chance to get into. I do want to go through some of the farther down the list potential options. You know, there's reports about guys being sat out for trade reasons in San Jose.
Barabanov season.
Yeah, Barabanov trade watch season. That's what we're all here for.
I'm okay with that, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah. We can talk about that more in the second segment of the show. Lineup notes. I saw Sportsnet's Dan Murphy tweeting from Skate in Vegas today, saying it looks like it's going to be the same lines and defense pairings. Demko projected to start. So, as you said, that would mean that Vasily Podkolzin gets into the lineup after a paper transaction sending him down to Abbotsford and then being recalled today. Really, the only other thing of note, as you said, no waiver activity for the Canucks. So, no clearing of cap space or roster space ahead of tomorrow's deadline for the team. Playoff forecast, even though there were no relevant games for the Pacific Division last night, Dom's model must really, really like Adam Henrique, because the Canucks' playoff chances of winning the division dropped to 58%. Edmonton spiked to 40%. And as far as I can tell, the only thing that changed was Edmonton went out and added Adam Henrique.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, though, right? Like, the model reacts pretty significantly when a team brings in multiple guys who are upgrades in their lineup, right? And part of that, too, is the guys who are no longer going to be playing. You know, I mean, that's part of it. When you add two players to your lineup, you know, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, your Dylan Holloway at this stage and age of his career sort of leaving. Yeah, that's going to give you a boost. Adam Henrique's addition has obviously given them a boost and could give them a further. I mean, we'll see how much the model changes and reacts. Model had the same thing with Elias Lindholm, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when the Canucks the Canucks acquired, I mean, I've seen their, like, playoff odds graphed, and it's like a steep cliff the day they acquired Lindholm. It hasn't played out in reality, by the way. Dom's model wrong again.
Chalk up another L for the model. Gambling odds.
I was interested after Cale Makar's first career hat trick, whether or not that would be reflected in the gambling odds, but Quinn Hughes remains, according to consensus, about a minus 340 favorite, although he's down to minus 220 in some places. So, yes, to some extent, Cale Makar's hat trick impacted or it was a loud enough moment to maybe crack the door open just a little bit on the Norris race, but Hughes is still going to win, and he's going to deserve to. After opening as minus 105, sort of pick 'em road dogs, the Canucks are up to plus 100. So some steam, choo-choo, on the Vegas Golden Knights.
The Noah Hanifin effect.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Really? I mean, what else changed?
We don't really see that. Well, no, I mean, it's a narrow... Yeah, the market.
Yeah.
Over, under, the over opened at 6, by the way, and looks like consensus has brought it down to 5.5. So... anyways, more steam on the under. Market is expecting a relatively high-scoring affair between the Canucks and the Vegas Golden Knights tonight on the Strip.
That's the whiteboard for today, March 7th. We'll take a break here. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. As mentioned, look, if the Canucks do strike out on Gensel, maybe Toffoli is a little too expensive, where could they turn? What are the other options available to them? What would you want to see? Get your texts in now. Lots of good ones in. We'll read some of those and go through some of the other options out there, some of the guys who could be on the move. Lots more coming up. Sean Gentile will join us at 1 o'clock as well here. It is Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.